Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. As I said, we're all discussing the new cabinet and very happy to take your calls, your reaction to the new cabinet. We've spoken about many portfolios. One of the portfolios that came up earlier on is your reaction to Gayton McKenzie being now the Minister of Arts, Culture and Sport. Some of you thought, you know, it's fantastic news. Some of you thought you were not so... One of you said, you know, we've never seen him dance or act or do anything like that. Well, I don't think you have to do that. But I also wanted to take a reaction from industry bodies and bodies that are really active on the ground in this sector. Jack Devereaux is a South African Guild of Actors chairperson. You have heard him many times talk about many things, issues around the rights of actors and so on. And recently, I think you've also heard him a lot talk about the copyrights bill. So these are some of the things that I think will be preoccupying the minds of activists on the ground. So Jack Devereaux, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Thanks, Pamela. Good to chat to you again.
Thank you for making time for us. So, your reaction to Gayton McKenzie being the Minister of Arts and Culture?
Well, I suppose we have to see this as an opportunity. It would be unfair for us to hold Minister McKenzie to any higher standard because none of his predecessors have showed any inclination towards an in-depth understanding of the grievances of performers and how to address them. Critically, it takes serious engagement with industry bodies. It takes meaningful engagement in order to understand what the issues are and to be able to look at the instruments available to them in order to address them. And we've never really had that level of interest from Minister McKenzie's predecessors.
I think, Mr. Devereaux, the issue here sometimes, I know why people say, well, we've never seen him act or sing or play sport or whatever, is because actually I think people don't understand how complex the portfolio is. You just mentioned that. Because when you look at the issues that need to be taken into account, there are so many players and the issues are so different. One would have to engage on the ground quite closely to understand the complexities of the issues.
That's very well put, because I don't think that any serious industry organization would demand that a minister needs to be drawn from industry itself. That would be an unfair expectation as well. Yeah. We are looking to engage the minister as a politician. That's necessarily his role, and it demands that the minister must be able to guide us in terms of the different facilities and capabilities that are at his disposal in order for us to address the issues and the grievances that we have. Those capabilities are not necessarily within our reach as industry organizations. We could possibly see them, but there are many more that are open to the minister, and he needs to make us aware of those after having grasped fully what the extent of the issues are.
What would sort of give you confidence immediately? What would have to happen for this individual to be received as someone who is going to be, I suppose, giving an ear and lending an ear to all the players, and maybe at the very least show the intention to be a minister that is going to deliver?
Typically, the one thing we would look for is a serious engagement between the minister and industry organizations where the minister is prepared to listen. If we can have that, that would be an indication of a serious intention to understand what the issues are. It's very easy, Pamela, and you would have seen this a number of times, yeah, where a minister taking office would immediately embark on this PR offensive, where they would, you know, want to align with industry, with the shining lights.
Personalities,
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's somehow it all seems to start with the red carpet, and then it goes into some gala event, and lots of pictures in the media. This is our business in the creative sector. We are not fazed by that. We are not impressed by that. You don't need to take pictures and play the media circus in order to tell us how important you are.
Yeah.
The real importance and what we are seriously looking for in our minister is the ability for him to sit, listen, and take notes.
There are many issues that are quite serious, to your point. You know, taking photographs and coming to fancy parties is not just it. There are many, many serious issues that need to be addressed. You've spoken about the copyright bill that needs to be dealt with again, because it is complex. There isn't consensus, number one, but you also need someone who is going to understand why there isn't consensus. And also, I think, Jack, another issue that I think people don't also look into very closely is the fact that Minister of Arts and Culture overlaps with Minister of Communications as well. The work overlaps, and there is, I suppose, no real attention sometimes is given to how important understanding the overlap is.
Well, I think you've definitely identified one of the overlaps. I'm going to add a few more to your list.
Yeah.
You could also include the Department of Employment and Labour, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, SARS. And, you know, there are a few more as well that could go into it. So what you point to is exactly the complexity of the job at hand. Mm. So we cannot simply say, well, we have now appointed the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, let him deal with it.
Mm.
No, he can't. He cannot deal with it in isolation. And it's something that we were at pains to point out to the former minister, Zizi Kodwa, where, you know, in a two-hour meeting with him, we made it very clear to him that you, minister, are not going to do this on your own.
Mm.
And, you know, he never really got working on it anyway. He resigned, thank goodness, in time. But this is an opportunity for us. And, you know, I'm glad you raised the issue about the bill, because as far as the bill goes, the bill was never part of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture in the first place.
Yes.
You know, so we never really pursued the minister for any comment or support on that bill. We think he might have been completely confused by it in any case.
Mm.
But certainly, you know, it is going to be on our agenda when we are addressing Minister McKenzie.
Other things that need to come onto the agenda immediately, of course, you said, you know, we need a listening minister, a minister that's going to, first of all, hear everybody out and understand how complex all of this is. What else do you think is really urgent at the moment to give attention to?
We are looking at the increased misuse of artificial intelligence and the ways in which AI tools are being used to steal the face, voice, likeness and image of our performers. And you've got contracts that are being given to us right now where the producers are literally saying in this contract that when you sign this contract, we then have the right to take ownership of your image for use in any future production in perpetuity, where all the commercial interests then lie with us, the producer, and no further compensation to you, the actor. So that's what producers are doing with AI now. And for us, that is blatant theft. It's criminal, and it needs to be addressed by a very strong set of regulations that should be drawn from examples already being offered to us by our international colleagues. So ultimately, I think regulation perhaps is the next big one, because it's impossible to imagine how the creative sector as a whole remains unregulated. We don't have a statutory kind of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that was the opportunity for the bills, you know, to update the Performance Protection Act of 1967 and the Copyright Act of 1978. We've missed both those boats. And the only other form of regulation lies in what is being used around the world, from North to South America, across Europe, down to New Zealand. Already in Africa, creative sectors are being regulated through unionization and collective bargaining rights, which bizarrely seems to have escaped South Africa, despite its transformative agenda.
Jack, did you not think that this would have been an opportune time to split the ministries, arts and culture and sport?
Well, yes, I think it would have been a wonderful opportunity, but I also understand that we are on very fluid ground here right now, and there are rumblings within the industry that suggest that the production side of this industry may not remain within sports, arts and culture. And I'm not sure to what extent that's, you know, just industry gossip. But certainly it's been coming from some very high levels, enough to give us cause for concern. But it really would be a strong idea. It would be a good proposal because, you know, we did see also the former minister, Nathi Mthethwa, making some very strange comments during COVID, where he was suggesting that the reason that performers couldn't be supported with some kind of relief funding is because they are not organized as sports councils are organized. Mm. And I was thinking, well, why on earth are we sitting in the same department then?
Mm-hmm. I want us to talk about the fact that, you know, you pointed out the fact that, no, there's an overlap that goes beyond just even the communications. It goes to enterprise. It goes to other departments. So let's quickly talk about the Ministry of Communications. We now have a minister from the DA. That's Soli Malatsi, who's now the Minister of Communications. Your reaction to that?
Well, the DA has made it abundantly clear in all our engagements with that party over the years that they do not support regulation of our creative sector in the ways that our counterparts around the world are regulating their creative sector. The DA is on record that they do not support regulation. They instead support freedom of association, the freedom to contract, and this despite our protests, saying that as long as there is no regulation and as long as you are solely concerned with the freedom to contract, it means that performers like myself will continually be undercut by other performers willing to take the job by charging less. Now, this seems to be what the DA is supporting, and it's a cause of great alarm for us as the South African Guild of Actors, because we have to establish some kind of floor, a limit below which you cannot possibly pay someone. It's in order to prevent complete exploitation, and yet our concern is that the DA doesn't see it that way. And we were also concerned, you know, looking at whether the DA ministers would be deployed to the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition.
There's a deputy minister there. Yeah, there's a deputy minister at Trade and Industry, deputy minister.
That's concern for us. You know, that is a worry for us because we know that the DA doesn't want to support regulation for the creative sector and to offer protection to vulnerable freelance artists.
Lots to talk about and lots to ponder on. When are we hoping to get that meeting, Jack? When are you hoping to get that meeting?
Well, it was a delightful little exchange on X today, where a number of people on that platform reached out to Minister Mackenzie and said to him, if you really want to know what's going on with artists, you've got to listen to Jack.
it was the funniest
thing. And believe it or not, to his credit, he did send me a message to say, I hear what's going on in social media. Yeah. You know, let's get together sometime next week. And I was very grateful for the message. So full credit to him.
Well, let's hope that meeting does happen. And when it does, we'll obviously speak to you about that.
We'll check in again, yes.
Appreciate your time, Jack. Thank you very much for giving us your time this evening.
You.
Jack Navnarain is a South African Guild of Actors chairperson, and also we also couldn't think of anybody else to speak to when it came to issues of representation, particularly of the actors. And of course there are many, many other people we could have spoken to with regards to how they feel from sport and the like, and we've got plenty of time to do that. We just wanted a little dipstick to see how other stakeholders are feeling about the cabinet announcement. We have, as I said, plenty of time. You have plenty of time. So we'll be taking those reactions from you as well tomorrow as the days go by. And yeah, hopefully Gauteng will settle down. And when that happens, we'll also dip into that. So you do know the breaking news story was that we were hoping that Premier Panyaza Lusifu was going to be announcing his executive. It didn't happen because there, I think what looks like is a bit of a deadlock between themselves and the DA. They don't agree. And the DA has said they may boycott all of this. So there is a postponement, and that story you'll obviously hear details thereof in the news. But it brings us to 10 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.